Welcome to the Human Condition Podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher. There are few extended families in the Western world that have not been touched by marriage breakdown. For so many in these wrenching, uncharted waters, one of the biggest questions is, what about the kids? According to Davide De Pietro, a clinical social worker at the Resilience Centre, it's really important that the kids have what he calls a separation story, that both parents clearly communicate what's happened and why, with no blame. He says it's possible for children to adjust to a separation, but not to unresolved and enduring conflict between parents.
They need to know that because a lot of the times parents worry so much about the act of separation and the effects that will have on their families and their children. But when we dig a little deeper, we find that it's the conflict, the unresolved and ongoing conflict, that causes more of the psychological and emotional pain for children.
Yeah. The fact that we're having this conversation reveals an issue that's more and more a reality for more and more families today.
Well, Lee, the statistics are 1 in 2 marriages now end in separation. And if we just look at the family court, we can see that there's a 2-year-plus wait for families to go through that process.
Can we begin before a separation? There are patterns of conflict that adults do fall into. What are some of those patterns, and perhaps what's a way out or around them?
I mean, it would be great if both parents could tell the story at the same time, to begin with at least. In order for this to happen, parents are going to have to get together and have a conversation on an adult level about what's important for their child to know and how can we make that non-blaming.
That's pretty tricky for most couples, I reckon.
It's very tricky.
Yeah.
And I'm not against using your network, using people around you, maybe to mediate or to help come up with a version of that story. And if that fails, I'd be maybe even suggesting speaking to a professional. Once I worked with a family who had 2 children, a teenage daughter and a primary school-aged son. Their parents had decided to separate after their mother had disclosed to her husband that she had had an affair. When working with this family, the father had a separation story, and his separation story was all about how his life had been ruined and how his whole family had been thrown into turmoil because his wife had been unfaithful to him and to her children.
Which is probably true.
Which is probably true. So the mother, however, spoke to me about her story and talked to me about how the father had been increasingly more distant in the relationship and how she had felt disconnected. He had been struggling with mental health concerns for years, which meant that he'd become unavailable and not able to be present in the relationship.
Which was again true.
Which was again true. My question is, what do you think these children have as their separation story if both parents tell them their own versions without coming together?
Yeah. So did they? Were they able to come together like that?
I worked with them at creating a story that they could both feel comfortable sharing with their children. And I have to say that it went really, really well.
Took a fair bit of work, I'm sure, though.
It took a fair bit of work, a fair bit of flexibility.
And angst.
And angst, yes. We needed to strip right down and we needed to focus solely on what the children needed to hear.
When a separation in a family happens between mum and dad or partners, you say they should have a separation story prepared for their children. Give us some guidelines on how that story is formed and how it's told.
Yeah, a good separation story is one that's specific. It's non-blaming and it's consistent and, of course, age-appropriate. Specific in the sense that it needs to avoid any other information about what's going to happen after separation, but more about why separation. Non-blaming, because a non-blaming story asks both parents to take joint responsibility for a separation rather than pitting one against the other.
Because they are both in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And of course, consistent. Consistent, ideally consistent, means the child gets the same separation story from both parents, but consistent also means that they get the same separation story over and over again and that you don't change the version of the story too much.
When you say age appropriate Flesh that out a bit for me. What do you mean by that?
Kids develop and grow, and as they develop and grow, their brains are able to take on more and more complex ideas. So for young children who are very dependent on their parents and need that routine and structure, young children need to have very concrete terms explained to them what it looks like, basically. As children grow up in preschool and even school age, they're able to understand a little bit more but still need quite black and white terms. It's not until adolescence or even later that children are able, young people are able to understand the complexities of the adult issues at hand.
So parents should be kind of prepared not for just one story, but a story that's going to develop and be revised and need to be re-explained at different levels.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. My motto is start right, finish right. Think about the story that you want your adult kids to have and simplify that down to a very specific and concrete version.
We're not spinning it, are we?
We're not spinning it, no. We are telling the truth because children grow and become dishonesty detectors very quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
So they are going to pick if something doesn't seem right.
Are we giving them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Is there a danger of giving them too much, perhaps?
For sure. It does depend on their developmental age. Like I said, the story does have to be non-blaming. So if the whole truth is going to divulge that a parent has been harmful and abusive, then that might be quite a difficult thing to explain to a young child. And it's not to say that those details can't come out and grow and evolve with the child as the child grows, but in the early stages or at early ages, you really would want to be taking a lot of that detail out.
Yes, it's entirely understandable that each parent will have different stories or a different version of this breakdown story. How do they navigate that reality, and how will a child make sense of all that, do you reckon?
There are a few common behaviours that you're likely to see from parents who are separating. In my experience, these parents seem to be acting these out at all stages of separation, from pre-separation, when one parent still hasn't left the family home, all the way through to post-separation. Because we know that children have such difficulty adjusting to conflict, any behaviour that exaggerates that is going to be a big no-no as far as I'm concerned. There are things like carrying messages, for example. I have to say it's probably one of the most common unhelpful behaviours that you'll see from separated parents. And that's just because it's easy. It's kind of convenient, especially when your ex-partner's the last person in the world that you want to be speaking to.
Yes, yeah.
Of course, sending a message through your child, such as, tell your mother if she's late again, I'm going to call my lawyer.
Great. Yes.
Or tell your dad, I can't get to his house next weekend, so we'll just skip next weekend and you can see him the weekend after.
Wow.
Yeah, these are some of the messages that your child then has to figure out. How are they going to take it back to their other parent? How are they going to buffer the information so that they're not met with the reaction that you as a parent are avoiding?
Yes. It's going to be a tricky thing for parents to navigate themselves because they're already in a world of conflict and difficulty.
My goodness, absolutely.
Yes.
I've worked with families and parents at all stages of separation, and it's fair to say that in the early stages of separation, you have some quite high emotions in the room.
Yeah. What about timing? When is it most appropriate to tell this story?
I think that children need to know this story straight away. As soon as it happens, even before, I think that young children, even if you think they're too young to understand what's going on, I think they need to know. What we know about communication is that something like 80 or 90% of communication is in tone and
yes.
body language. It's nonverbal. And so if you tell the story to your child, there's a lot that they're still gaining from you telling them the story.
It's probably pretty much on their radar already before the story comes out that
Absolutely.
There's a big problem here.
Good point.
Yeah. I have to say this, all of this sounds very sound and sensible and mature and ordered, but at a time of separation, it's likely to be that crisis where emotions are very raw and there's not much that's sound that's going on. So how am I going to be able to navigate that as a parent between partners before it even gets to the child?
I'm really glad that you mentioned crisis, because it's very much true for all individuals in the family, as well as for the family system itself, to be in this crisis.
Yes.
A well-crafted separation story can be the anchor point in the turmoil and in the change. If the story you're giving includes details such as, "Mum and Dad thought that we could be better parents if we didn't live together anymore," then that sets the benchmark. Your job from there is, despite all of the other stuff that's going on, to be the best parent that you can be to your child. Mm. Put their needs first.
But again, with the development of that story, it's probably not always going to be that neat, because I'll want something said that might not be in agreement with what my partner wants said. Right. How do we negotiate that? Because it's not quite kind of ordered or perfect, is it?
It's not, and it does take some negotiation.
Yes.
And sometimes maybe even a third party would need to help mediate that yes. type of decision. But if we keep the focus on what the child needs, and a child does need a non-blaming story, then we need to find a way to communicate that.
Are you talking about a professional or family member, family friend? Who's best to do that?
I'm a big advocate for using the people in your network. If there is a friend or a family member that feels like they could help with that, then absolutely. If not, if you try that and it's not getting anywhere, then I would say, yeah, then it would be time to speak to a professional.
Yes. What about the future? How's all this going to work out in the years and decades to come? What do parents need to know about the future? Because you'll always be around as their parent.
Yep.
And they'll be around as your kid.
Yes.
Maybe when they're 60.
Yep.
How's this going to work into the future, Dad?
Children watch their parents. They learn how to love, how to argue, how to resolve. Your children will learn how to do all of this by watching and how you interact with their other parent and with others. And so that doesn't matter whether you're together or separated. It matters that you can show that you love, that you argue, and that you resolve. They will take those learnings and they'll take them into their adult lives and their adult relationships. And from there, they'll take them and use them with their children and the relationship that they have with their children. So show them how to connect, how to love, and how to grow.
I think it's probably worth finishing off like this. I'm bound to say that for parents considering separation and seeing the price that everyone pays in that, what would you say to them about separation?
That's such a big question. I guess I want to be frank. I want to say that kids will be affected. Parents often talk to me about how they don't want this to affect their children. That's somehow the goal, that they won't be affected. But it's inevitable, they will be. So if they're going to be affected, let's be proactive. Let's be proactive about what they need now, what makes a difference, and what they need for the future.
Dudley, it's been a most important conversation to have for our times, for mum and dad, partners and children. Thank you so much indeed for your wisdom.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. Check out our other conversations and lots of resources on the Resilience Centre website, www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.